Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum issue 108. And Kane is here, yeah. Kane's over here throwing out baseball signs to everybody. So how you doing today, man?
What's going on? What's happening? Great week so far, even though it was a long week at work for myself, but something dropped this week, and two somethings dropped this week, so we got a lot of goodness to talk about, a lot of epic goodness, because I guess I could say I like both of them. Both in different ways, but one of them basically, I think sadly, is the ending of one thing, and the other thing is the beginning of another thing. So it's, but we'll see. But there's a lot of speculation online of the other thing maybe coming back, but you know, well, that's always hearsay, but little whispers, but for right now, nothing. But if it is truly the ending of this thing, it was a great send off. That's all I'll say. So
guess what, guys? We want to make sure you guys check out Kane's new podcast. They are rocking right now, getting a lot of listeners. Low Blows and Chair Shots with him and Hot Shot Veal. So make sure you guys do check them out. They are on Spotify. They do have a brand new episode out. So make sure you guys
episode 5 dropped. Yep, me and Willie talking some stuff about some wrestling stuff. One of the main questions we had this week was, and I think I brought it up to you, is do you think the world title match should always close a pay-per-view show? And that was the question we brought up to me and Willie. We discussed it. Good conversation. Check it out. Episode 5 is now online.
Perfect. And this week also, we will be dropping our next Midnight Movie review – or not review. Sorry. This is the Watch Along edition. You're going to be doing the – epic T2, Terminator 2, which I believe we have Willie did join us on that one as well. So you'll get a chance to see all two shows or all three shows kind of intermingled and having fun.
Yeah. And actually the one that we're dropping for Midnight Movies is not the theatrical cut, which by the way, good on you. It is actually, I would say, the ultimate edition, which all the kind of extra deleted scenes in there put in there, which I think makes the movie, I mean, as good as it was, probably far more better now. It actually adds context, a lot of stories. And to me, the definitive ending of the Terminator series, at least to me, if they wanted to end it there, it's fine. Like the other ones we got, Terminator, Jenny Smith, and all that other stuff was, you know, everybody has entitled their opinion, but I don't think we're up to snuff.
Yeah, no, it was a good way of ending it and putting a book into it. Yeah, there are other chapters, but none that I'm interested in reading.
Yeah, neither am I.
So Hollywood had some sad news this week. We had lost Yaphet Kotto. For all of us here at the Heroes Asylum, Alien would probably be his biggest one. Alien, The Running Man. He also was in Midnight Run, Live and Let Die. He played the iconic Bond villain, Mr. Big, if anybody remembers that. And of course, he spent a long running role on Homicide, Life on the Streets. So, unfortunately, he had passed away. I'm not seeing a reason. Cause of death was not provided when this was announced. I haven't looked up anything further. But, yeah, I mean, definitely an icon when it comes to movies. He was always one that, if I did see him, I was always kind of happy to see him in the movie. I've never been a big watcher of any of the crime shows. So I'd never really got into those.
No, neither did I. I mean, I think our common friend, she's a big fan of those shows. But I remember him from Running Man, especially. That's the one thing I remember. He was one of the prisoners that got tossed in the planet in that virtual game. And I think he was killed by that. Was it the guy Dynamo? He was like the big fat guy who was attached to the vehicle.
I believe it was. But his name was Dynamo. I don't remember who he got killed by, but
And I love Dynamo. He was always singing opera songs. My name is Dynamo. They had like opera music. I'm like, what the hell is this? It looks like a giant Christmas tree. It was that movie is so ridiculous, but it's so awesome at the same time.
Yeah, no, certain things from the 80s a little chill or a little cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Well, maybe we'll do one of those movies in the future. Who knows?
But that's. If we ever get on that kind of kick with maybe doing Stephen King movies, maybe that'll be.
We should. People don't realize that is a Stephen King movie, by the way.
Yeah, most people forget about it. Yeah, because they think King horror, but King's got some really great, great other lines of books and movies. I mean, you think you're probably one of the biggest downloaded or watched movies all over the world, Shawshank Redemption. It wasn't a King novel. It was a King's novelette. That he literally, you know, he this director, he gave it, pretty much gave it to him and said, hey, just do what you want. A lot of movies like Stand By Me, you know, things like that. You just, a lot of folks forget about that. And then, of course, you know, the very divisive and dangerous, the Gunslinger series is also, is good to a point. A lot of great story getting to where it is. But at the end, a lot of fans, I even myself was a little disappointed to where it ended. But if you want to talk about great, we always talk about the multiverse. King's multiverse is crazy. He is the king, no pun intended, of the multiverse in his novels. They all intertwine.
Every one of them.
And the Gunslinger is the one that really brings it together. So yeah, definitely something to look out for. And speaking of multiverses, we got to see, I'm going to call it a multiverse. It's not the main storyline, but it is a Snyderverse is what it's being, you know, touted as. So the HBO Max release of Snyder Cut. So what did we have a late night review that's going to be released this week with myself, Kane, and one of our friends, Melissa. We had a little late night review of it last night.
And yes, we did.
It will be released, guys. I recorded it on purpose.
I can't believe that's going to be released. Yeah. That's we were all over the place.
We were, but again, I'm going to make sure I definitely have tagged it that this was a late night influenced show. And
I love all the way you put that.
So we're going to delve into that. That's going to be the spoiler free one. But here we're just going to do a short review. I know this one's, Kane's been waiting and frothing at the mouth all weekend. I've seen him on Facebook having some very lively conversations with some of our friends on Facebook. So go ahead, man. What do you got? What do you think?
I think I'll put it this way. And I put a post on my Facebook page and I said, I'll paraphrase because I don't remember quite what I put down because it was in the moment when I was doing it. But I clearly said that I really wish they would have let Zach finish his trilogy, you know, completely and not basically fire him or whatever he left. I understand. I mean, the circumstances are irrelevant at this point, but I really wish they could have seen the vision this guy had because the guy definitely has a handle on the DC universe and where he was going. I would love to see. What we got was an incredible 4-hour epic movie. Now, is it Avengers? No, it's not Avengers because Avengers, remember, they built up to the Avengers. You had a couple movies before we got there. You had that build. So, you know, Justice League wasn't allowed to build. Basically, it was, you know, you had Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and, well, I guess Wonder Woman's there. And then you had Justice League. So you got three films before you get there. And one of the biggest things that's hard to do is to build up characters you haven't seen, right? Somehow they managed to do that in this film. As far as like Cyborg, I think to me, this is a Cyborg movie. I think we were talking about that. It is from beginning to end. It's his journey. I mean, you had the Flash in there as well, and he had some cool scenes, but you didn't really get no backstory in the Flash, which is fine. I mean, by now you had 7 seasons of the TV show. You really know, should know, or you got him, or comics, whatever. But I think it's that the beginning of the movie is a direct sequel almost to Man of Steel. I mean, it's the ending of BVS, but you're hooked, literally. And I was wondering, like, okay, the beginning of the Justice League, the Josh Whedon version, was the whole weird mustache thing. I was like, oh man, I hope we're not going there. We got it. Liked it. Liked the characters, liked the Justice League. But here we just had a more, the movie flowed. It was 4 hours long, and you had like the little chapters, which I thought was kind of brilliant the way they did that. But to me, it just filled in all the other spots that we needed to see. And there was, and actually, if you look at the movie as a whole, you can see where Zach was going as far as building a DC universe online, because all these characters were going to lead into their films. And it shows it. You had Aquaman in Atlantis, and it's going to lead to his movie. You had The Flash, which basically shows snippets of their movie. Cyborg, snippets of his world. The Batman movie with Ben Affleck, it was going to lead to that with Deathstroke. It was going to lead into all these different areas and perhaps into a Flashpoint movie as well. I mean, there's tons of hints that was dropped at Flashpoint. Superman had purpose. He was badass. Like in the Josh Whedon version, to me, you know, he came back and he's like, hey, I mean, I'm all about truth, justice, and the American way. This movie, no, he comes back and he's just an ass kicker. Just beat the living hell out of Steppenwolf. And basically you get that through line through the whole film that when Superman died, basically the bell was rang saying, oh, you know, Earth has nobody, because they're afraid of him. They're terrified of Superman. That's the big thing. Once he died, like, oh, okay, you know what? We can go now. But once he came back, not going to happen. And, you know, we went from there, and just like the overall tone of the movie. Yes, it is dark. Okay. I mean, if you haven't seen a Zack Snyder movie, it's going to have his tone. I love the cinematography. The music, to me, as much as I love Danny Elfman and I love his scores, which is kind of fun, man, having Junkie XL and Hans Zimmer in there, it just felt whole. It felt like a Justice League movie. I felt I was watching a 2-hour animated movie of the Justice League come to life. Just a little bit darker. Actually, do you remember that movie? It was an animated movie. I think it was the beginning of the DC animated world online. I think it was called Justice League War. It reminded me a lot of that animated movie. It took a lot of ticks from there because, you know, Darkseid and the fourth world. And they redeemed the fourth world to me. They redeemed the fourth world, the new gods and all that stuff, where you heard mentions of it in the Whedon cut. No, here you see it. You see where it's coming from. You see, like, how they're terrified of Darkseid. You actually see Darkseid in action. He talks a little bit in the film. And he had the rest of it. He had Desaad. I love that part where you see Desaad. And that little, you know, part where he comes through the that makeshift mother box thing where he's like, and he almost looked like the creature. Tell me if I'm wrong, if you didn't get this vibe. If you remember Flash Gordon, remember Clytus? That was Ming the Merciless, like number two?
Yeah.
Didn't you get like a little Clytus vibe from Desaad a little bit?
A little bit. But I wonder if that's where Clytus came from or vice versa. I mean,
I don't know. Their tones, like the way they talk, almost very similar.
Well, that's always been Desaad, though.
I mean, it was just like, it was cool. Yeah. It was just freaking cool. I mean, I can't talk enough good stuff. It is 4 hours long, so it's a sit through. But to me, it just flows. It keeps going. It kept me interested for 4 hours.
Yeah,
dude, I had definitely to go to work. The first 2 hours I was watching, I had to get up early, and I was literally watching 2 hours before I went to bed. And the next day I finished it. I was like, okay, you know what? Man, I'm in the middle of watching it again.
All right.
Because I'm just trying to find, so I'm actually an hour and 30 minutes into it again. And to me, it's one of those movies I'm just not going to get tired of seeing. I wish I could see where they're going to go from here. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. But for what I got, the ending of his trilogy, he got to finish it.
That is the
biggest accomplishment. He finished it. You know, the fans, the cry from the fans was like, finish the Whedon cut. The Snyder cut. We got that. And I'm elated. I'm glad we got it. I'm glad it's out there. I will never watch that 2017 version again, ever. And, you know, I'm just excited. I am happy we got this. I'm happy this movie's out there. When it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, I'm going to purchase it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because I did not buy the other one, but I will buy this one.
Yeah. I agree with you. I know I enjoyed it. It gave him that opportunity to wrap up what he needed to wrap up. I had some issues with certain things about it that I felt, and I guess this is kind of why I was kind of against it in a way, was like, you can look at your finished, sort of your finished product and go, oh, well, it's just like what George Lucas is doing with Star Wars, how he's like, oh, well, I should have added this in here. Oh, I should have added that. This is like getting a chance to retro do it. The last 30 minutes I could have done without.
You could have put it somewhere else.
It could have been put somewhere else, but since they didn't, I could have gone without it. Because there were a lot of moments when those flashes that we see throughout the movie that allude to the possible future happen. So why couldn't you just throw that into – instead of having a strange epilogue? I was like
– the thing is, why they didn't – when Barry is going to the Speed Force and he's running, why couldn't you just put the epilogue in there?
It shouldn't have been Barry. It should have been a Cyborg, because Cyborg's the one that was having
the vision. That's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah. I thought Cyborg was going to have the vision. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, he had possible future visions he saw, so why wouldn't he just throw that into him and say, hey, there you go. That it just would have made more sense. And then the shoehorning in just to have him in of Martian Manhunter kind of bothered me.
Yeah. I'm
like, he's just there. Like, to me, the first time he shows up, ruined the actual scene.
The
scene beforehand that you would find out that he was pretending to be somebody else. The scene before that had a weight. And then the second I found out it was him, I'm like, that just lost the weight and the meaning of that scene. And so, you know, that's one thing. But overall, it was a great movie. Anybody that complains about 4 hours, but I had a couple of talks with some people last night. They're like, oh, it's 4 hours. I go, how long was Avengers Endgame? Really? It may be an extra 40 minutes. You know, this is
if that. I mean, and like I said, like 3.5 hours of the Avengers Endgame, it was another one that just like flowed.
Yeah,
this to one me, flowed, there was yeah. no stopping. This one flowed, and I think, as I said, I'm going to say it again. I'm just glad he got to finish it.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm glad that they got rid of was the Wheaton jokes.
Oh boy, thank you.
There might have been one joke I would have liked to have had left in there, but for the most part, all the cheeky Wheatonisms are gone.
Didn't work.
Yeah,
just didn't work.
The
man.
Only one I wish that was on there was when Arthur finally sees Bruce.
Oh,
and he makes that bet, and that I think what should have stayed. The rest, I'm glad they got rid of, and they you know put those off to the side. And
I just like the fact that they were building worlds within worlds in this movie. Like the scene I love a lot is where Diana and Bruce are sitting at the table and they're looking at the recruitment of the Flash and Cyborg, and they're looking at a picture of Aquaman in the sea, and she's talking about like, yeah, you know, many years ago our people went to war with the Atlanteans, you know, they can't be trusted. And I was like, ooh, like a little hint.
Yeah.
Little hint of something of a Flashpoint thing. I was like, that's kind of cool. And my God, we didn't even talk about like the war scene, like the past war scene where the new gods came down, Darkseid. I mean, holy crap.
Yeah.
That was cool. Was Ares not a badass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, man. Like, dude, they made Ares like a supreme badass. I mean, David Thewlis, man, kicking ass. Because he's actually credited in this film. So I guess they CGI'd his face on some dude's body. But it was awesome seeing the old gods out there. I was like, this is – and he basically almost killed Darkseid.
Yeah.
So I'm like – it just shows how powerful those old gods were. So that scene, the scene where he kills the freaking Lantern and he almost grabbed the ring. I mean, ugh. I could talk about it all day.
Yeah.
So we can't.
All right. So, but speaking, we did talk about Avengers, but also something else came out today, Falcon and Winter Soldier, or Friday. Sorry, it dropped the new extension of the MCU. You know, we just ended WandaVision about a week ago or two weeks ago. So now we have Bucky and Falcon hanging out together, or not yet, but it's building up. And I think this was a great intro to their world and to kind of change the tempo of what we've had so far with the MCU. On the you know on the streaming service, and I think I thought what they did was great, introducing them, showing them what their lives are, and again, it kind of the moment that we saw in WandaVision, where we see Monica come back, and we see kind of we see what the rest of the world dealt with during the snap.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing that also from another angle, that you know Falcon's you know trying to help his sister out, and she's like, "You were gone for 5 years, you know, you just were, you left us and everybody else had to pick up." And just saying, you know, the effects of what that had on the world and what it's continuing to have is really, it's a really interesting look, especially nowadays, you know, where, you know, we have a lot of some, you know, certain communities are coming out of, you know, lockdown, and it's work. You were kind of, you know, coming out of a snap ourselves in a way.
In a way, because we got to find a way to get back to just like a different type of, you know, way of living. Yep. It's just like some people have been locked in for years and like you said, we're slowly getting out of it. So you got to find out, got to get your feet wet. Like, what do we do now? Like, how do I retrain myself to live in this new world that we're living in?
Yeah, that's because, basically, there's certain things that aren't the same anymore, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I love what these Disney shows were a grand effect that the snap was. It's still being felt throughout everything. It's still there. Like WandaVision, now you've seen Falcon and Winter Soldier, even some of the movies like Homecoming or Far From Home, you felt it. So, yeah. I mean, I think you're going to see the effects of snap for years to come.
Yeah.
Until the next event comes.
I think the next phase, after we run through the television series, the streaming services, I think that at that point, I think when we get back into the actual movies, I think we're going to feel less of that because now we're back. You know, this is the first time they talk about Tony. You know, yeah. make comment about his passing, and it was I really liked it. It's not an action packed episode. There's a little bit in there, but
they're building. That's what they are. We're building up to something, and I think it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, I
believe
just say that,
so.
Yeah.
But so it's going to get there pretty quick. Like next week, I think we're going to see some action. And what I also love is the post traumatic stress that Bucky's feeling right now. I mean, you got to think like that scene where he's going into the doctor's office and basically, hey, you're here, you're pardoned, but this is part of your probation or whatever. And you got to tell me what's going on. You know, do you have any friends? You basically have one guy who's your friend is Sam, but you don't do anything else. You got to go out there and live. And it's almost like he can't forgive himself. for what he did as the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the Winter Soldier, but also the fact that he's 106 years old. That how can he forgive himself that he's lived this long and being that darker side of him? You know, it's almost like those. I'm a fan of Anne Rice in the Interview with the Vampire books, but the very first book, Interview with the Vampire, where they talk about, you know, Louis, who's alive, but he's got to do dirty things to stay alive. And he sometimes has conflicting parts of him, like, you know, yeah, I'm alive. I'm gone longer than anybody else I know. But to do it and to get there is the problem. You know, and that's kind of what Bucky's going through.
Yeah, he's feeling like those ill effects. And like even when he went out on that first date with that lady, it's like, you know, he didn't know how to, like, basically his one friend, which I'm not sure if that's one of the Howling Commandos or not. I thought it might be. Is that one of the Howling Commandos?
I don't know. I don't remember the name.
Okay. I'm sure. Yeah. I have to look it up. But I thought that was one of the Howling Commandos that he went with. And he's basically going on a date for the first time that it triggers back to, like, because his friend, the old guy, I forgot his name. He's basically talking about, oh, I lost my son. And then when he actually goes to the apartment, you find out that maybe we don't know that maybe he had something to do with his son. That's like that whole thing, like that whole Winter Soldier thing is still there. Mm-hmm. Like he's still having post-traumatic stress from about it. And I think that's a hard thing to get over. I mean, his mind was basically messed with for how many years? Like he didn't know who he was. Like he was being controlled, brainwashed, and it's still there and it haunts him. So it's just one of those things that's going to keep going forward. And I'll be interested to see how he's going to team up with Sam now.
Yeah, I think we will eventually see that. I think, you know, once they and then we get introduced to the new Captain America, who on the internet has now become the most hated person in the world.
and I think Feige, that's what he wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. That's what he wanted to do and accomplish it. Like people were mad, like, oh, I hate this guy. I'm like, guess what? Feige just succeeded. He made you all hate this guy in literally the last 2 seconds of the ending of the first episode. That's what he wanted. And then that's where we're going. We're going for the Battle of the Shield. That's what's going to happen. I mean, you knew once Sam gave away that shield, hey, the Smithsonian's going to be here. Nah, the government's like, no, we still need a Captain America. And you get this Fruit Loop, whoever it is, the U.S. agent. Oh, he's the new Captain America. Awful, awful costume, by the way. I just kind of cringe.
Well, it was great. Also, we got to see Rhodey to you know, have a little nod with him. Yeah, he was there. So, yeah, and there's, again, like you said, there's another 5 episodes and there's a lot more that we know or that are coming and other people that we know are supposed to be on there. We're going to see, what's her name? Carter. The niece.
Sharon Carter. Sharon Carter's going to show up. Yeah.
So we definitely have that to look forward to and see where they're going. I can't wait to, cannot wait.
It looks good. It looks good. I mean, I want to find out about that organization with the LDs, whatever they're called. I guess they were a faction that was built during the snap.
Yeah.
And they want to maintain what it was, and they're still around. Like, I like the fact that he had to find those glow-in-the-dark symbols to say where they're at. Like, oh, yeah, they're here. You have to look through a VA light. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It kind of reminds me of the Blade 2, where they had to look for the clubs, like all these different glyphs. And they had to go through these ultraviolet lights to look for them. But it's interesting to see where they're going to go. I want to find out who those gigantic mask dude was. I mean, who's that guy? When is Zemo going to come in? So there's a lot of stuff we haven't even touched yet. And it's only episode 1. So like I said, good job to hook me in after WandaVision.
Yeah, they did a great job. So kind of going back to the Snyder Cut, you actually posted something about HBO crashing the servers. That actually was only in Asia.
Oh, was it?
That was not. Yeah, because I saw some. The only reason I'm bringing it up is I've seen other people posting about that. I'm like, no. And it wasn't HBO Max. It was HBO Go, which is their mobile version of that. And it was only in Asia where this crash happened. So, yes, that's awesome that, you know, that it's getting a crash like that, you know, so much. But yeah, I was like, I wanted to talk. Like, so I was like, no, that's not how it goes. That's a clickbait. We don't like that.
Yeah, we don't like clickbait.
So what do you got?
Resident Evil film, actually the Resident Evil series, which is coming out for Netflix, has some details on what it's going to be like. Basically, the good friends at Superhero Hype actually reported this. But basically, if you played the first 2 Resident Evil games, going back, like, I guess the first one was in the mansion. The second one took place in Raccoon City. The series basically is going to take place in the year 1998, and it's going to basically involve the first 2 games. Basically, you're going to have Jill Valentine, you're going to have Chris Redfield, you're going to have all those characters that you love from the game. I mean, you got them in the movies with Mila Jovovich, but you got them sprinkled in. They weren't really them, but you're going to get that hardcore horror action, I think. And we have Linda Hamilton, I think, starring in the series too.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Yep. So she's going to be one of the generals, which I think is kick ass. So I love that horror vibe, especially the first game. I'm not sure if you played it. It was on PC for a while, then went to console. But that game was terrifying. I mean, it's basically like almost a third person type of not shooter game, but basically you're walking around picking up elements in this mansion so you could survive. And the moment you see the first zombie is just frightening. Look it up on YouTube, that scene itself. And if they can incorporate that from the first two games, when you go to the mansion to the actually Raccoon City, I mean, this just sounds promising. I like the Resident Evil films. They're like a guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah, they
but
are.
Now we're actually going to get like the hardcore. This is what, you know, the fans wanted. And I'm glad we're going to see that now, especially they're taking it serious. It's going to be on streaming, which I've always said, I think going to a streaming service allows you to breathe and build a story. You can literally stretch this out for like a couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Like you could do 10 hour long episodes or hour and 10 long episodes. And basically, you know, you have time to build these characters again. Like maybe you haven't played the game for a while. You can build up Redfield. You can build up Jill Valentine. You can build these characters up again until you get like, you could end season one literally with the Nemesis Project. And then you go to season two. Like you literally could play like the games. And I think this is positive news. And I can't wait to see. It's no release date as of yet. But is this September sometimes? Yeah, this says Rutland Raccoon City. We're airing September 3rd. So actually there is a release date tentatively. So look for that. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. But yeah, I'm a fan. That's a guilty pleasure of mine as well. Any of those, you know, those in the Underworld series are, you know, awesome to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you know, powerful female role models are needed more. But they are all there.
But they've been there.
So, but yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I got news here from this is from actually Heroic Hollywood. Actually, is talking about Amazon's The Boys spinoff series. There's looks like The Boys, you know, being the massive hit it was, a spinoff series will work to expand the show's universe. The planned spinoff series will take place at a superhero exclusive college. So I guess they're trying to hit up with the tweeners. And basically it's going to be run by Voight. And previously we've known that executive producer Craig Rosenberg was on board to write in, but we now know that we know who will star in this series as well. Looks like Sean Paul McGee, Amy Cario, and Maddie Phillips are all relative newcomers who will be part of the cast. They're three young actors, so we'll look forward to that, I think. I'm not sure about that. It all depends on how they what route they go.
I don't know if I want to see teenage boys I don't want to see teenage boys, but like teenager type of boys.
I'm going to make sure I mark that. Let me mark it.
Mark that. Yeah. Just. I don't want to see the boys go to college. I mean, I'm never going to get this right. I just don't want to see those type. What do they call the superhero organization and the boys?
I forgot.
Okay. I don't want to see Vought teenagers. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I'm cool with the adult stuff. I mean, it depends. Like I said, it depends how they do it. I mean, is it going to be very different from the boys we're getting now? Is it going to be like the origins of Vought? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, again, it's one of those series that I'm not asking for, but I will watch it out of curiosity. Yeah.
I mean, they've got so much to do in the boys universe. I mean, I'm trying to remember how many volumes they have of The Boys. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Like 12 or something?
More than that. I know I know I've seen a volume 17 before. So, it's a massive world. That's why I stopped reading the volumes around like number 4 or 5 because I was just like, man, it's just so much. I can't.
It's vast. It's literally a big world. I mean, there's so many things they haven't even touched on yet. I know one controversial storyline they're not putting in this year, which is good. But because I think it's very silly. I just think that's more for like reaction if they put that in there. You know, it's like, you know, hey, look at this. Like, you know, you don't need that. The Boys is going well, fine, and they're going to hit season 3. And like you said before, like they could have ended it with season 2. They really could have. Like to me, you were like, well, the story's ended. But you're going to get a season 3. It's a popular series. They're going to go from there. And now we're going to get this Vault spinoff. And, you know, if you got something hot, I guess, you know, keep dropping it. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you got next?
Godzilla versus King Kong Force reactions are in and generally very positive. Let me read you one quick review. It says Godzilla vs. Kong has excellent action effects. The story is crazy ambitious. At times achieves some unique sci-fi coolness. Gotta borrow that word. I watched it again for the stuff, and most of the human angles are overstuffed, illogical, pointless. It constantly took me out of it. And that's from Jermaine Lucier. Let me tell you something, Jermaine. Most of the human stuff in monster movies is kind of pointless. So you're not saying anything that we don't already know. The movie's called Godzilla versus King Kong. It's not called The Notebook. So you're not going to see these thespians stretch their acting skills in there. But reviews like that, actually, there's a couple other ones that basically echo the same thing. The fights are phenomenal. Again, another one I'm looking forward to. And when you see news like this, especially reviews coming out this early, because I guess the embargo's lifted. Again, 2 weeks, I believe we're going to see that movie. And
Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, the 31st.
Yeah, 31st. Out, so. Yeah, it was a weird day. It was like on a Wednesday it was dropping, which was kind of like, really, Wednesday? But I guess that's the HBO is trying to drop it a different days. So,
yeah. So, like I said, it's just positive. Like, I've been looking forward to this film, and, you know, not that I have, I let reviewers get to my mind and they just brainwash me, but I was looking forward to it anyway. But like, when you actually hear like a positive review, it's like, okay, you know what? This, I'm actually, that pumps me up a little bit more. Kind of like once the Snyder Cut, the review started coming in, I kept seeing like positive, 10 out of 10. I was like, okay, let me watch it. And then I was like, oh, okay, I can see. They were right. And this bodes well. I mean, like you said, I'm getting a monster fight. This is what I want. I mean, we're not getting some Shawshank Redemption. I mean, I don't know what people think. I mean, the humans are not going to do much in these films.
Yeah, they're fodder. They're ants. They're cannon fodder. They're just crap to get in the way. And
they're bantha poo. That's all they are. Let's be honest. That's all bantha poo. That's all they are. I just, like, when I hear reviews like that, I go, okay, man, I get it, but what did you expect?
Yeah.
Did you experience some Shakespearean performance in the middle of this film? Oh, there, Godzilla and his mighty might blows this city down. What shall I do? Shall I be frustrated and angry as I watch this? You're not going to have that. Lighten up. Lighten up, people. Just lighten up a little bit. But I can't wait 2 weeks, and should be fun. Should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, week and a half. Disney actually is going to be re-releasing a long lost Star Wars series that was pretty much put to the back burner once Filoni and George Lucas created Star Wars Clone Wars. Mm. The original one, but if you guys remember back 2003 to 2005 on Cartoon Network, there was the Genndy Tartakovsky's Star Wars Clone Wars. Well, that is actually going to be making a return. It's not going to be new episodes. What they're doing is they're just putting them back in to bring it so people can see it again. Because that was, for some Star Wars fans, that was actually really good. They enjoyed it. The art and everything, you know, if you guys are big fans of Samurai Jack and Primal, that's kind of the same. It's the same artist that did that same styling.
Very similar, yep.
So they're doing that, yeah. I mean, they're short episodes. I think they said the first two seasons of Clone Wars had each 10 3-minute episodes, and its original format will be there. The third season will have 5 12-minute episodes. There's also a DVD release coming out as well. But this is going to be coming to Disney. Now, this bodes interesting because not only was this announced this week, but we're also getting other Star Wars things that we thought we would never see in Disney. Where the Ewok, the movie, The Journey of the Ewoks, or whatever that one was. That is coming.
The made-for-TV movies?
Mm-hmm. That one is coming. I know one of them is. I don't know. I'm pretty sure both are, but right, the last one of the ones I
remember. They both were, because I know one of them had Wilford Brimley in it. So
yeah. That one. then we had, I also know parts of the Dirty Word, the holiday special, will be brought into Disney+.
I was just going to ask you that if the holiday special is coming.
It is not in its entirety. Parts of it are coming in. So that's where it's interesting that they're not giving out the full thing because, again, it's, you know, George. This is Disney playing the legal card in a way. George said not to release it in its entirety. Well, they're not. You're going to get it, but piecemeal out. So, which is fine. I'm completely fine with that. But I am interested because it's been so long since I've seen that Star Wars, you know, Clone Wars one. I have my memory of it, but maybe that's changed. You know what I felt about it. I I myself wasn't a big fan of it. Again, the drawing, I'm not a big Samurai Jack fan either. So don't, you know, don't curse at me or anything. I have trouble getting past the animated style. That's just me.
That was a big thing for me. I never enjoyed that animation style. I mean, I've seen Samurai Jack. I think it's cool, but the way it was done, the movie, when I saw it, I just thought it was complete trash. I mean, I might change my opinion if I watch it again. I'll give it another shot. But to me, the best news of this is you're bringing back those made for TV Star Wars movies, like the Ewoks Adventure. And, mm-hmm. you know, that to me, as a little kid growing up watching those on TV, that was the only thing I had after Return of the Jedi. Yeah. So I was still lusting for Star Wars. And when those specials came, I was like, oh my God, the Ewoks. Like, I mean, they didn't show what happened to Luke or Han or Leia. It was just the Ewoks. And, you know, that's the only series that I know that actually killed Wilford Brimley, even though they killed him off screen. Because if you remember the first movie, he was there with that weird safari hat.
Yeah.
The second movie, they show up and you see a safari hat like and underneath the grave. And like, I guess they killed Wilford Brimley, man. Like, huh? What the hell? They killed a diabetes guy. But
diabetes got him.
Diabetes on Endor.
nobody told you Ewoks were high in sugar. So
kept feeding them
that Ewok meat's kind of sugary.
Here's a Twizzler. There you go, buddy.
But also, what's coming out for the Disney for the Christmas, the Star Wars Christmas special? One of the big ones is they're releasing the Boba Fett video, that cartoon section. So I know that one's going to come out as well. Again, by itself.
And I wonder if they're going to drop it when the Book of Boba Fett's going to come out. So I think the Book of Boba Fett comes out Christmas?
I believe so. Yeah. So they may. I know the Ewok one is. I know this one is coming out my birthday actually April 2nd. It's going to be dropping on the streaming service. So you're going to be able to see all three to check that out.
Yeah, should be fun. Like so, I said, I'm looking forward to going back and relive some of my childhood youth watching those movies again. So should be fun.
Well, yep. So make sure you guys check it out. I mean, we got a busy. I mean, this is a geek month. I mean, when you really look at it, we had the end of WandaVision. We had the introduction of, the Winter Soldier in Bucky. We had the dropping of Snyder Cut. We got Godzilla coming out in a week and a half, then 2 weeks. You know, we have this one dropping. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out this month. It's a good month to be a geek, I think.
Yes, it is. You could stay at home, get some popcorn, and just turn your TV on and be enlightened for a couple hours or so. So it should be fun. Yep.
So what do you got next?
I'm gonna let out a Darth Vader note real quick. Give me a second, okay?
All right.
No! WB is pushing back Gotham Knights to 2022 in hopes to make the game the best available. What does he say here? Let me see what he says. I'm going to quote him on this. Okay. To deliver the best possible experience for all our players. Why are you taking – that's the statement I got from WB Montreal. Why, man? I haven't had a Batman game in so long. I'm jonesing. I was going to get it, and they pushed it back a freaking year.
Yeah, I was disappointed too.
That means you're not going to be able to see me online on Twitch when I start my gaming channel blowing Mike's head off as the Red Hood. So you're not going to see, you're going to have to wait a year for that now. So it just pisses me off for not getting it. And I'm upset. I understand these things happen with games, but I am still not happy. So.
Well, and you'll have to remember it'll be Nightwing that'll be playing, not Red Hood.
Oh, I'm playing as Red Hood, though.
Oh, okay. You'll be playing as Red Hood.
Yeah. I'm playing as Red Hood.
It'll be the Battle of the Robins. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that as well. Because the last Batman game, I think, was the same one you and I played, and I did not have a good time with that one because of, well, apparently my driving skills suck.
Yeah.
I can't drive.
Yours? Yours? Too many Batmobile battles.
Yeah.
Way too many.
But I was looking forward to it, especially after everything we saw at DC Fandom last year, the trailer for it.
Oh, God. That trailer looked amazing.
Now, was there any news about the second game? Wasn't there a Suicide Squad movie or game coming out as well? Was there anything on that?
No news on them. Okay. Just basically Gotham Knights. I think Suicide Squad is still – I think it's still releasing this year.
Okay, I would have thought it would because, I mean, what better way of, again, doing something that they don't do anymore? Have a video game release.
Hold on. There's something here I didn't read. Read the fine print. 2022 was already shaping up to be an exciting year because for DC Games, upcoming release, The Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is coming out 2022 and now Gotham Knights.
Okay, so they'll have two out then. All right.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
I mean, it would have been better if they would have had Suicide Squad ready to go for the movie, because, I mean, that used to be the big thing. You know, you get a video game.
That used to be the big tie-ins for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Like, at any movie they got released, they would have, like, a tie-in video game. Yep. It wouldn't be the best, but they would always have it. I think the last one that I can recall was Batman Begins. They released it, and I think it was for PS2, PS3. They had a game, which I bought. It wasn't the greatest game. Yeah. It was basically a prelude to what you're going to get in Arkham Knight.
Right. Well, they did that for a while after that. I think that was the last like console game, but they did that for a while for app games on your phone. They would release a game to tie in with, you know, a movie coming out. And it was usually based off the same engine, you know, same shoot 'em up kind of style. Was nothing, you know, nothing anything special.
Yeah, nothing egregious or hard.
It's now, just, I understand that the Suicide Squad one is not going to be a direct tie-in, but at least would be cool. Hey, Suicide Squad movie coming out. Oh, and there's also this game. Nothing to do with the movie, but still.
It would be kind of perfect. Yeah, you tie it in there. You basically, hey, guess what? The movie's coming out, and you can buy the game too. Oh, man, guess what? Cross-promotion.
Yeah.
You make some sales off that. It would make sense, but you know, these, they don't do that no more. Unfortunately, they don't. They're basically, the video game world and the movie world are now basically two different entities, as they always were. They don't work with each other anymore, which I think is a shame to me. But so we're gonna get Gotham Knights in 2022, and I guess I'll be mad for the whole year.
And yeah, I guess we'll get you through it though.
I'm just really disappointed.
Well, I know this won't cheer you up, but it's going to cheer me up because, well, I'm a Stargate fan, and Stargate producer teases an SG-1 Michael Shanks returned in a new revival project. There has been talks, whispers in the dark sides of the sci-fi community of them trying to revamp or start up again either the movie series, which with the original Scotty Emmerich, I believe, or
I think it's Scotty Emmerich.
And then you also had Brad Wright, who was the showrunner for the television series as well. So there's been rumbles underneath, you know, in the dark communities of sci-fi, that there was a project for both. But it seems like the mysterious new Stargate project for the television series has now gotten its familiar name attached. Michael Shanks, who played, you know, Daniel Jackson for. What?
Six seasons?
No, he was on there. He was on there for the whole run, but yeah, I think he had a season and a half or half a season.
He left.
Yeah, he wanted to leave. Wanted to go off and do something else, and then
he was Hawkman for Smallville.
I think that was actually after the run. I think that was after Stargate was done. Yeah, okay. I believe, or it was he wanted to get away and do something else. Then Stargate pulled him back in. But there is talks of having him come in to do this new spinoff. Again, no information about it. There's a new project going on. Last project we saw from Stargate, and I love the show, was Stargate Universe. I know a lot of folks didn't like it because it did take it broke away from the regular feel of the shows. You have to realize, you know, Stargate started in the 90s. So you had that style and that story writing and everything. And so a lot of folks got comfortable with that, and it was fun. But then when Stargate Universe broke out, you know, we're talking, you know, early 2000s. Well, world's different at this point. I hate to, you know, point a finger at anything, but, you know, September 11th really changed a lot of folks' hearts and minds. And so did your stories. Your stories changed. You got a little bit more grittier and a little bit truer in your stories. And that, I think, really upset a lot of folks when Stargate Universe was very gritty. Not very gritty. It was a little grittier than the other shows. And a lot of folks didn't like it. I thought it was a great show. It was an interesting show, interesting take, some great actors on there. But that was the last Stargate we've had. I know there's conventions going on. Normally the conventions are up in Canada, unfortunately. We can't get a GateCon down here to save our
damn
lives.
Damn Mounties.
So we're definitely – there's still works, you know, talks. I did see an interview with Michael, like, I think it was last year, like before the cons all, like, you know, went into hiding. Where he was talking about, you know, just, you know, his enjoyment of the show. So I always know he's been a big fan of it. We definitely won't see anybody else. I think we might see Judd come back for something.
I think Judd is doing more voiceover stuff now.
He's always done voiceovers. He's been,
lately he's the voice of Kratos now for the God of War game. Yeah, so yep. He's busy with that. Which I think
that doesn't take long.
I know. I'm just saying, like, as far as you know, I had issues with, like, you know, them replacing T.C. Carson from the original series. But when he came in, he just added like a different.
Oh, he's got that voice, weight. Man. That,
yeah, oh, that. Man. It was like, OK, you know what? You nailed Kratos, because I was waiting for him to get mad. And he has those moments in the game where he does get pissed off. Yeah. I'm like, OK. There, but I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
Oh, that, no, no, that's perfect. No, but yeah, so there's you know, there's chances of, you know, some more. I definitely don't think we'll see Richard Dean Anderson returning. He kind of washed his hands of it, because he just, I think he was done with it, and he wasn't a sci-fi guy. The fact they even got him doing sci-fi was good, because they
for a couple seasons. He was there for a long time. Too.
No, he was there for until 6 or 7.
And then he left. They didn't kill his character off. I think he got promoted something.
Yeah, he got promoted to general, and then he got promoted to something else. So, yeah, there was.
But then he came back in a couple of movies, I think, right?
He came back as the general in their two movies, Continuum and Rise of the Ark of Truth. Yeah. Two movies. So, yeah. So, he didn't completely wash his hands of it, but he was a single dad and wanted to spend more time raising his daughter, and, you know, completely understand wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was definitely missed in the show. I loved to.
I liked him, man. I liked his character, man. And that's a hard character to take over, because he took over basically Kurt Russell's role from the film, and then he kind of made it his own. Well, kind of like Daniel Jackson did.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they both did. Yeah, and it's funny, though, when you watch the series. I know you haven't really watched it much, but he makes jokes that there's another one out there.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Or you're Jack O'Neill. Well, I'm Jack O'Neill with two L's, because in the show he has two L's, but for Kurt Russell's character there was a spell with one L, so there was always this ongoing joke of that there are two. Yeah,
it's funny, because before we started recording today, I was actually started picking your brain about Stargate, because I hadn't watched it in so long, because I wanted to see, like, you know, do they still do the Egyptian gods? Because anything with mythology or like gods and something far above, I love. And then you told me, like, yeah, they threw him in there, and he and she was in there. I was like, you know what? I might start rewatching this series again just to get caught on point again, because I didn't realize how many things that they went through and the Gould and all that. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I think I fell off the train way too fast in that series.
Yeah, that one, I joined a little too late. It was already in syndication by the time I started watching it. It was something that my dad and I would watch. He would come visit me on the weekends, and we would sit in the afternoon and watch Stargate on syndication. So I never got a chance to watch the original runs. I think I eventually got to – I think I started watching them, I think, on season 6, and actually was watching it live, so I was able to catch up. Actually, this tells you what I did. I took a week off of work. I usually don't take time off of work. I take long weekends. But this time I had to – boss was like, no, you got to take time off. And I was bored sitting at the house. And this is before streaming services existed. I basically binge watched all the Stargate series in order. I'd always called them out of order, so I wasn't sure where certain parts went. So what I did is I went online on Best Buy, bought the DVD pack,
the DVD set.
And then I drove to Best Buy to pick it up, because it was cheaper online. And then I would just drive to my next.
They would price match it.
Yeah. I would buy it online. I would just say, no, I'm going to pick it up at the store. So I'd go pick it up.
Oh, you returned it. You got the difference. You're a slick bastard.
Oh, no, I wasn't returning it. No. I was just ordering it. I was buying it online, but I said, I'll pick it up at the store. So then I drove to the store. So I was getting the online price. The store price was like an extra $5. It wasn't like I was saving, you know, bank or anything. But then what I did is I would watch a season a day. Every day on my vacation, to where by the end of the vacation, I was caught up and
Jesus, that's those are long seasons. It's what you do, get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, yes, and just watch till.
I'd had nothing else to do, dude. I was
damn, dude.
I was in a.
You know what? But I can't hate on that philosophy, because when I too took several days off work. This was actually when I was unemployed many moons ago, so I had literally nothing to do. And on Netflix, they had just dropped Battlestar Galactica, and I had never seen it. I'm like, what is this? And like, just watch the first episode, okay. And I started watching the first episode about 10 o'clock in the morning. All right. I didn't finish till like literally 2 o'clock in the morning, because I just kept watching all the way through. I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah.
So I understand how that binge-worthy thing is. Yeah. You know, you just sit there and just like you keep going like, oh, more, 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 more. So I guess once you get the itch, man, it's hard.
But hopefully we'll see something from either television or the movie Stargate. I'm either one. I'm a fan of both, even though they are sort of in separate worlds. When the movie guys don't agree with what the TV guys did, and that's okay.
That's the way of the world, man. TV and movies never get along. So
All right. So what do you have next?
Another sad part of the news for me. Once again, Venom 2 has been pushed back from its original release date from June 25th to September 17th.
Oh, that's not a bad. Okay, now that's not too bad.
It's not awful, but I think you're getting into dangerous territory here. And I think we've talked about this in past episodes. I understood first when you had to push all the movies back because of the pandemic. I get that. I do. You had to do what you had to do, people's safety and all that. I am 100% behind that. However, now, as we slowly get out of this pandemic and, you know, we get the vaccines, we get everybody cured, quarterized or whatever, pushing these movies back, and I get why they're doing it. It could be very dangerous because then those movies are not going to be as relevant because maybe, you know, now, for instance, Black Widow. How many times has Black Widow been pushed back? Like 4, 5 times? Yeah, it's getting to a point for me personally. I don't want to see it now. It is. It's like, okay, it's going to be pushed back again. Like at first, I was like, oh, it's going to be interesting. I want to see this. Now I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because I have that built into my mind. You know what? It's going to get pushed back again. And Venom is almost doing the same thing that Black Widow was doing. Like it was here. Now it's there. Now we're going to push it back again.
But
like,
now what was the reasoning behind the pushback?
Because
I mean, that movies changing release date a few months is not a big deal. That could be that there's too many movies coming out. They don't want to have the competition, something like that.
Well, the reason basically is for the change is in the uncertainty that remains about when theaters will be back to full strength.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, but the thing is, theaters are open.
You're living in Florida. We are not the rest of the world. California literally just reopened their theaters last weekend. All right. So imagine when we reopened our theaters I don't think our theaters – like our theaters closed down for a month last year. So our theaters were back open midsummer.
Yeah.
So you got to think
the AMC ones, like the Regal ones are all closed.
Well, the Regals just went out of business. Yeah, but the AMC ones reopened and they didn't have any movies. They just were playing the classics. And so – and now you got to realize California is now at that position that we were almost a year ago. So, and I understand I understand the rest of the world is normal again in a way.
We're getting there.
But slowly. I can definitely understand that reason why. But I also understand your concern is irrelevant. But if you're making movies, you try not to make it too timely relevant because then they're not rewatchable anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's one of my little pet peeves. Like if you keep pushing something back for me, I'm looking forward to something and you just keep delaying and delaying and delaying. It's kind of like you're going out with this hot girl, right? And she keeps telling you, hey, guess what? We're going to go on Friday. No, I'm going to change my mind. Now we're going to go on Saturday. No, you know what? We're going to go out 2 weeks from now. All right, 2 weeks is here. No, we're going to go out a month from now. It's just like, you know what? I don't even care anymore. I'm just tired. Just let it go and I'm just done with it. I mean, I understand, but it's just like it's getting to a point where I'm just like for Black Widow right now, I don't care if it gets released or not. I'm not gonna watch it, but it's not gonna be a first day thing I'll watch. I was like, whatever comes on.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. They have to make that conclusion. And there's also a lot of times the companies, there are groups out there that will not release. Like even Kevin Feige has said it. No, I will not release any of my movies on streaming service.
And he hasn't.
He hasn't had any in production either. So you got to realize that this kind of happened at a strange time for them. They were in the middle of not making movies, but concentrating on the series or on streaming. So for them, it didn't hurt them as much. But if it does continue to where the theaters aren't as full or as openly completely open like they are. Mm-hmm. That could have an impact and that could hurt him as well. I mean, sticking to your guns that hard.
It's okay to loosen the reins up. That's why I like what HBO and Warner Brothers are doing. They're releasing stuff into theaters and on their streaming service, which I think is a good move.
And they're not charging.
So
now folks will say, well, HBO Max is double the price of Disney, but I can also state that you get more. Honestly, you get a lot more. They have newer stuff released every other day. I mean, it's a great. That's why I'm like, I'm okay with the price of that because I know I'm going to see new movies. But the Disney, the premium price one is like – it's like $20 extra.
$20 because you're getting – like I think you get ESPN, you get Hulu and
not
something
else.
No,
the premium services where you get like the new Rhea and her dragon.
You got to not only pay
your $7.99, but you got to pay 16 something or 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't get that. If you go
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to pay – for those shows. And it's like, I don't know. Well, I'm good. Yeah. They say there's more in the premium service, but I'm like, actually, I think it was – now I'm thinking about the price. I think it was like 40-something for the whole service that will have
– that's what I'm thinking of, that whole package that they were gluing in together.
That's just nuts. I'm sorry. Yeah. What HBO Max is doing, I think it's perfect. It gives you a chance to go out. And we did. I mean, oh, you and I – well, did you go out to Wonder Woman or not?
I did, but not with you guys.
Okay. So,
but you know, I did go.
Yeah,
did
our little our group. Yeah, our group. We all watched except our one friend Cindy. She did not watch on streaming at all. She waited till we went to the theaters to watch it. So, you know, she's like, no, I was like, well, I watched it, and it's not going to ruin it for you because I'm going to go see it again. But yeah. So I mean, there is that option, which I think is great for them to have.
Yeah, that's a good move they're doing. But sucks that we're getting that move pushed back. But yeah, so look for Venom 2. There will be Carnage on September 17th.
Okay, like I said, a couple months. I can deal with that.
Yeah, I'll try.
All right. I do not have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, sir. All that's right, it for me that, as well. Man. Yeah,
like look at when that. A plan comes together. Good old Hannibal Smith. So, guys, make sure you guys do check us out this week. We are dropping, like we were saying earlier in the show, we are dropping the T2 for Midnight Movies. We also have the brand new podcast.
That's podcast. How my mother says it. Podcast.
Yeah, it's been a long week and a short of a weekend. So
man, tell me about it. I'm with you there, brother.
But make sure you guys do check out the new podcast, which is on its fifth episode of Low Blows and Chair Shots with Kane and Hotshot. I keep wanting to say his name. I'm going to say it again.
I think we already said Hotshot Veal, so it's already too
late.
We
didn't know the other one, the real name, his government name.
His government name.
His government name. I'm going to say
not his code word.
not his G.I. Joe code word we're using for him. But make sure you guys do check those out. Both episodes are out. I listened to some of the latest episode. I had to turn it off because I yell at you guys. So I don't want to. I had to like not listen because I want to yell at you guys about stuff you're saying and like interject and I can't. Now I feel like an old woman yelling at a TV in the middle of the day watching her stories.
Well, I will. The invitation is always open for you to pop on one of these nights.
So. I might pop in just so I can yell one time and feel better about myself.
Yeah, then hang up. Bastards, click.
All right. So what else we got going on, King?
We got Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check out Midnight Movies. We're dropping T2 this week, and we have some other goodies coming up for that. And as always, from Mike to me to you, and check out Low Blows and Chair Shots episode 5, get to the asylum.
See ya.
Peace.